This is what we spoke about last week when we introduced the subject today. Could we go a little bit further in freedom? That'd be okay? So I want to take you to some scriptures. John 8, let's return there. I personally would like to see more freedom in my own life. I would like to, as a pastor, see more freedom in our church. I really appreciate the prayer request that came when you read them, Louise, about how somebody had said, you know, I'd like to see more gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in the church. That's been my prayer all the time, is that we would see more freedom to be able to do that. It's not easy, we know, but we're not free, I guess, to be able to do that. But I would like to see more freedom, not only in our church, but many churches across this land, that we hear of all the difficulties. You know, it's amazing what happens. You know, as soon as the coronavirus came out, we started hearing the churches closing. My son, who's up in Glad Tidings, up in Burlington, he's down in Missouri right now with his family, visiting our daughter-in-law's family down there, part of her family, her sister. And anyway, we found out that their church, which is 1,200 plus, Linda, have you ever been to Glad Tidings in Burlington? You've probably driven by it maybe, but it's a huge church. I think they have multi-services, don't they? 1,200 plus in the church. They cancel the church. It's 1,200 people that won't hear God's word this Sunday. They may dabble in the radio, the TV, or books, or whatever, or DVDs and all that, but they won't be in the fellowship of the church. And I thought that's strange. So our other son lives up in Barrie, and is your church closed, Peter? So, Mom, Dad, our church is open. At least I got one kid. He's going to church on Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at all the stuff, you know. We need to be free. Make decisions in light of the coronavirus and all the concerns that we have in light of all those things. But as I go by the word of God, it says, do not forsake the gathering together of yourselves, as the manner of some is, unless there's a coronavirus breakout. No, that's not in there. We should be in here. So I would like to see more freedom in the body of Christ. Amen? So today, are we free to respond to a message that the Holy Spirit deals with in our life? Are we free today to be able to say, God, whatever you want me to do today, however you want me to change, whatever needs to go on in my life differently, am I free enough to be able to be man or woman and stand up and say, that's what I need in my life? That's the kind of freedom we need. Are we free to learn something from Holy Spirit today? Say, Holy Spirit, teach me something today in church and show me something. Are we free to change direction if we felt that we needed to in our life? Are we free to, that's no longer there, to change direction? Are we free to be open to the Bible should the Holy Spirit deal with us in the area of spiritual gifts? Are we free to some of the biggest battles I've had over the years is, show me, Pastor, where it says in the Bible that I should be tithing. I always come back to the next question, show me where it doesn't say it. Everybody's got their hang-ups or their things, you know. Now I say, well, do you believe it's 10%? Hey, if that's your starting point, go for it. If you want to pay more, go for it. Do something, though. Tithe. Get away from that holding on to your purse or your wallet. And we need to be free in that area of our life and giving to the work of the Lord. Amen? Perhaps you don't agree with some doctrine in the Bible. Are you free today to be open to it? Or are you closed-minded and say, well, they always taught me this way. I heard it in church when I was a little boy or a little girl, and that's the way it is. And so you can't change my mind. I'm set. Are you open today? Are you free? Even if you've been saved for many years. How many years have you been saved? 70? 77. That's 2 seconds. That's perfect. That's pretty good. So are we open to be teachable? Are we open to be, I don't know if this is a word or not, learnable? Are we open to be openable? Is that a word? I don't know. Do they use that in India? Openable? Maybe. Or are we just plain old vulnerable to the Holy Spirit? If there's anything that I've said today that is even remotely getting close to something that we're actually thinking about, then if you're battling with something that you haven't got complete freedom in your life. I've said something that's just in this last few months ticked you off, and you're not free. Right? So are we really free in Jesus, or have we put Jesus in a box like the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders did? Freedom. As he spoke these words, many believed in him, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. It's amazing, all these dogs come back to our upbringing. Then we are Abraham's descendants, and I've never been in bondage to anyone. And a lot of people say that to me. They're like, what do you mean I'm a sinner? We are Abraham's descendants, and I've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you've been made free? Because the people out there think that they're free. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Maybe some ask, you know, why do we have to discuss this? Why do we have to have a message on freedom? Because I believe that we need to be free. Okay, is that okay with you if I say that? No. Just leave me to myself as a pastor and preach the word of God. Let me be free, okay? Just kidding. You know, a lot of people just want to do their own thing, do their own thing the same way they do it for years and never hope for any change. You know, there's a problem of being a hermit. It's a problem of being a hermit because, you know, that doesn't cut it with the kingdom of Christ. Jesus told us to go into all the world. He even tells us to be a hermit. But we are social people and around people constantly. You want to keep 3 feet or 6 feet distance, whatever. We're around people. And if we hide or retract like a turtle that draws into its shell, is that what we're supposed to do? Or be like an ostrich that puts our head in the sand? Pierre, thank you for all those illustrations in the night. Hallelujah. The bear and the bull. So as I started thinking about that, you know, we can't bury our head in the sand, or nobody will know how to overcome if we do that. If we never preach about freedom, nobody will know about freedom. If we never preach about doctrines of the Bible, nobody will never know these things. If we don't say something about tithing, people will never know about tithing. If we don't talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, people will never know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we just have to let it go and let the chips fall where they may, but we need to preach the Word of God. And people perhaps they never know the freedom that Christ is allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with in their hearts and their lives right now. Freedom. We've got to understand our own flesh and the war that goes on. Everybody know what the flesh is like. You know, what do I want to do? It's the battle. It's the battle that goes on. We as I read last week from Romans chapter 7, about what Paul talked about, would to God that I'll do the things I do, but I don't do them, and sin me, and wish I could, and couldn't do that. And we go back and forth. We're like that. The battle goes on. And we don't do what's right and proper. And scripturally, especially when it takes us out of our comfort zone, we won't do what the Bible says because, oh, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could say that. So it's going to take us out of our comfort zone. We aren't free to do those things. We not only battle the flesh in regards of all the spiritual stuff in our life that goes on, but the enemy would prefer to see us locked up and bound and tight-lipped and can't do anything for the Holy Spirit of God. And so we have to accomplish something that Jesus wants to do in us, and individually for us as believers and as the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Verse 32 is interesting. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Did you know that truth and freedom go together? They go absolutely, they're solidified. Truth and freedom. It comes in the Word of God. See, freedom alone would be nothing. The world out there knows freedom.
They've got their concept of what freedom is, and because according to the world standards, they say they have freedom. I don't have to go to church. You guys are locked in. I don't have to pray. You guys are locked into that kind of stuff. You're all kind of, you know, brainwashed and everything else. And I always tell them, I heard an evangelist say this many years ago, but they call this brainwashed. I always say to them, at least I chose who I wanted to watch my brain. Amen. So you're looking after the world, and the world is coming in brainwashing you. But I choose Jesus. You wash my brains, wash my heart, wash my life, wash every part of me. I thank God for what Jesus is doing. So they think they have the freedom right there. But you know, freedom alone is nothing. You know, I've talked to many Christians say, I'm free. I don't have to go to church. You know, I can do anything I want anytime. I can do it. I can declare it. And they say it. So they have that. And so they have freedom. And I look at them, all they have is freedom alone. They don't have freedom in truth. Because they're celebrating their freedom. There's only that freedom in their lives, and they're like a loose cannon. When they're like that, they have all that kind of freedom. But I like truth. How about if you had truth alone? Many people know the truth. Many people in Jesus' day heard the truth. They received it. They heard it. They heard it pouring from his mouth. But they failed to act upon the truth. Is that right? If I told you, you need to be saved. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to offer your life to him. You need to surrender to him. You need to find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to do that. Now, you've just heard the truth. Because that's what the Word of God says. You need Jesus Christ. He came to seek and save you and to change your life. So if I told you that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and life. You have heard the truth. You have heard it. And it's up to each person to act upon the truth. So, truth and freedom come together. Truth acted upon brings freedom. When you take the truth and say, wow, that's what God's speaking to me about. And you look at that truth in the Word of God and say, I never knew that. I need to change. I need to put this into my life. I need to get this flowing out of my very being. And so when you see that, you want to change because the truth is acting upon the freedom to get you to do deeper freedom for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big difference, as we stated last week, between the world sense of freedom to God's truth and freedom of what it actually is. We need to understand that fully before we go any further. There has to be this understanding about truth and freedom only comes in God. Anything we read in the Bible is useless to us until it's acted upon. Amen? Many people read the Bible. Oh, it says in there, you need to be saved. Did you act upon it? No, I don't want to go that far. So you know it, but you won't act upon it. You heard that Jesus is coming, but you won't receive it. You know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you won't act upon it. You know about tithing, but you won't act upon it. You know the doctrines of the Bible, but you won't act upon it. So really, have we got truth and freedom? As I say, are you openable? Are you teachable? Are you learnable today? See, many believed in Jesus. I like that opening statement right here in this paragraph in its context. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Isn't that great? Told in verse 30, but it's... See, many believe. But here's the crunch here. It's what happens next. It's what happens next. Isn't that right? Thank God for freedom and salvation. You glad you're saved today?
Yes.
You got saved, you said, that's it? I'm good. Don't do anything more. No. You got saved. It's what happens next. Freedom doesn't stop at the moment you confess the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior. It's an ongoing process. Ongoing. And I don't think it will ever stop in our lives until we get to see Jesus one day. See, there's an ongoing process. And I don't know about you, but I need more freedom in my life in the Holy Spirit. And I believe the more we trust Jesus, say, take me, take my hand, Jesus. walking in that freedom. Take what we need to take me. Just allow that freedom to be exercised in my life and take me to the place where you want me to be. Amen?
Amen.
No, obviously there was more work to do in Jesus' time, and so I believe there's more work to be done in our day too in 2020. Freedom is ongoing. Freedom is steady. It's uncovering. But every problem we face in life, we either look at it through the eyes of the world from before the cross, or we look at it through the eyes of what we have in Jesus now. Isn't that true? Every problem, every situation that comes along in our life, are we stained by the world and, I wouldn't have done that. You know, looking back at before the cross, this is how I would have handled it. But, you know, you can really tell an expert, a deep Christian, when they say, well, that's not the way to handle it. We need to get into this place. And, you know, listening to the coronavirus and all the things going on in both the United States and here, and Vice President Mike Pence, he's a Christian. And I heard about a week ago, I guess that President Trump put him in charge of the detail of all the scientists in the CDC and WHO and all of the things that are going on. But Vice President Mike Pence is in charge of it. Now, wouldn't you know it, Christian, when he gets all these people together, says, can we pray? And they all kind of, what? You see, he was free. He said, you know, there's only one way we're going to deal with this battle. You know, we can bring all the scientists up. We can line them up all along the table here. We on the floor. We can bring all the people in, the experts and the expertise and everything else. But Vice President Mike Pence said, let's pray. Let's pray. He knew where the real freedom comes from. And a lot of people try and handle all the problems of life and the old ways and the old freedom from before the cross. But we know when we really got freedom, when we can really turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is what the scriptures tell me. This is what I should be doing. This is how I should act in this situation. And I want to deal with it in the light of what I have now in Christianity. I'm living for you, Jesus. They may not like it in the world how I deal with this, but I'm living for you, Jesus, now. And I'm going to stand by the promises that you have in the Word of God. So that's why I'm here in church. That's why church is open, because I'm standing with Jesus. Other churches may say, well, it's logical to close the church. I'm standing with Jesus, and it may sound illogical, but I'm standing here with the glory of God and wanting to serve Him and live for Him, and so I want to be free. I mean, thank God for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. I want more freedom. I want to build on it. I want to keep going. I mean, ask a new convert. Somebody comes into church and gives their heart to Jesus, and they come in here and they're, oh, wow, isn't that great? I give my heart to Jesus. Oh, I'm just so thrilled. Oh. And all the angels in heaven are shouting, joy, 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 joy. Now, you take that new Christian over here and say, come on over here. I've got a question for you. What? How would you deal with coronavirus? Oh. Because they don't know yet. They don't know how to deal with the issues. They're just glad they got saved. But you see, you can tell how far along a Christian is and how they deal with the issues. How they go into everything that's around them. Are we in fear? Are we, I don't know what to do? Or are we saying, God, I can't control the wind. I can't control the earthquake. I can't control tornadoes. I can't control it, but I can control it here, how I am. You know, I was reading an article, about 2 weeks ago, there was tornadoes down in Tennessee. They quite a devastation, and it was quite the thing. In fact, one of the pastors, I think it was in the Baptist church down there, was involved in some of the destruction of houses and all that. But anyway, he was driving along a few days after the tornado, and an old guy was sitting in the back seat. He was thanking God that all his family was saved through the tornado. But the little child is sitting there and saying, Daddy, we believe in God, right? Yeah. How come God made tornadoes? He said, I sat there, I didn't know what to say. Didn't know what to say. You know, and we are put in situations like that all the time in our life. Why did God allow? Why did God say that? Why did God put this in the world? What's going on? All those questions around us. We need to be able to handle everything, not from a point of view that we just got saved, but we are a our walking and deepening our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we've all here, we've been saved for years, but have we deepened our life? And that's really the question of each and every one of us. Have we deepened our life in Jesus to take that step into a deeper life in Jesus and freedom? We should be. We must be growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
If we got it all at salvation, how proficiently we would move through life would not be very good. But we did get it all at salvation, so we're not moving through this life very good, but we are learning. I don't know about you. You know, truth and freedom. Truth and freedom. Truth and freedom. You know, when we get saved, we just don't park our Bibles on the coffee table like they perhaps are. We're supposed to open them, find out about what truth is all about. Now, I want to find out more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So this leads me, as I go through these verses of Scripture, that once a person gets salvation in Jesus, they need to be instructed. Here Jesus is pouring his heart, and these people, many believe in him. And so Jesus is saying to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, if you get into the word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. If you abide my word, you are my disciples indeed. I found this other translation. I don't know about you, but if you have that app on your phone, what's the little Bible? Anyway, it's on the phone. It's an app. I like going through all the different translations. And there's a translation, like sometimes they just put the letters there, and I have no idea what they are. But there's one, I think it was TNT. Sounds like dynamite to me. But, anyway, I looked at this, and it said for verse 31, if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives. I thought that was pretty cool. If you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives. So this is what every believer must adhere to. The scripture is our lifeline. We are in the sea of life, and the truth is like a life preserver being thrown out to us, and hold on. You're just grabbing onto the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I found that the scripture, when you live in this life, the scripture forms our memory. You ever realize that you recall scripture? The scripture forms our memory. Scripture forms our attitude. Amen? If somebody has a bad attitude, you need to get into the Bible. You need to start reading some more things in there. If you've got that negative attitude, you've got all those things, you need more of the Word of God. You need more truth. Amen? So are you open today to change? The scripture begins to allow sound decisions in life. I need that. Hallelujah. Scripture presents to us an alternative to what we've always done before. Because when we come to the cross, it gives us a deeper meaning. Scripture is our heartbeat. We march to a different drum. Do we really see the importance of the Bible in our lives? You know, I like going through the epistles. That's our doctrinal issues. When you get into the letters of Paul and Peter and James, and you go through all those letters, and that really forms our doctrines and forms our stands. And if you went through our statement of faith in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, you would find most of the scripture references come from the New Testament and the epistles. And you go in there. That's where we form our life. And as I go through some of those letters, I sometimes wonder why Paul has said some of the things that he said. When I read some of the things, you know, and you go through some a blessing, but you know, I like Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Or as the New Living Translation says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Don't get tied up again. Don't get entangled again. Don't trust the world. Don't trust those things. Don't trust your old ways. Look to Jesus. Amen? Paul was very concerned about the church. It is free. It must be walking in freedom. So, you know, as I look at this, why are we talking about turning back? You know, if we want to go deeper in Jesus, he says, don't get entangled again in the world. Don't get entangled back there with all those decisions. Don't get entangled in that stuff that you knew back then you thought was right. Don't get entangled in it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has set you free. It's a freedom when you walk in. So why turn back? Do you want to go back? You want to go back to your old life? I don't. You know, the old life, they always say, well, it's party time. I say, okay. I was there one time. I know what the parties are like. I know how long they last, and I know how I felt after the party. And they said, let's do it again tomorrow night. I said, no. Maybe next week. You didn't want to go through that again. Sometimes I just look at my old life and I'm ashamed of it in ways. But when you look back and you say, how did I ever get home? I drove home in a car. I could have killed somebody. Do you want to go back to our old life? But this last is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the party endures for a few moments, but there's a greater life. You know, I want to get partying around in heaven. My brother's saved. He's in heaven right now. I'm waiting to get there one day to see him. And thank you, God, for him. You know, I want to see my family saved. This is what the party is really like. When those angels in Luke chapter 15, when one sinner repents and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of heaven shouts and gives the glory march and is overjoyed because one sinner repented and came to Jesus. You know, the joy of the world will not last forever, but the joy of Jesus will last forever. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? That's what I'm living for. That's what I want more of in my life. That's where my GPS is all set for. So when I get to Galatians and I read all the stuff that Paul wrote about, and I wonder why did Paul write this stuff down? Wasn't he sending the letter to the church of Galatia? He was, wasn't he? Like, I need to know that. Will you tell me if he was sending it to the church, was it? Yeah, you sent it to the church. Well, when I start reading stuff, like, why would you say that to the church? How could you ever say a thing like that to the church? Here's what he says in Galatians chapter 5. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, why would he say that to a church? Maybe somebody needs to hear what Paul said to the church then. What he says now. Oh, I'm not a fornicator. I'm not an adulterer. So let's break those things out. Maybe you have fits of rage. Maybe anger. You got jealous. All those dissensions. Maybe you're breaking ranks. You're an oddball. I don't know. God just wants to fix you up. He wants to get some freedom into your life. He wants to get some freedom. And Paul's really concerned for the church was really forceful. You know, anyone who claims to be a believer and wants to go back, anyone who claims to be a believer and wants to go back, something's going on that's not right. Something's not right. If you have a desire to go back, you've got to clinch it right there and say, enemy, get your hand off my life, my brain, my thoughts, and everything else, and start working towards Jesus. Put the truth back in. Put the truth back in. Pour in the Word of God. Amen. Thank God that when Paul read off all those lists of terrible things that we think was, oh, it was just for the church of Galatia, not for us today. Just for them back then, not for us, right? That's how, I mean, we always read the Word of God for somebody else. But thank God Paul doesn't leave us there, because Paul gives us the part of the spirituality. He painted the negative side. He showed us all those things that, you know, stop doing that. Don't be entangled with the world anymore. Here's what I think that you and I should really be like. And then he goes on to list what it's like. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So there you have both sides. Which freedom do you want? Which freedom do you want? I really believe he's trying to get across to us. Now, here's one of those powerful statements that Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How does Christ strengthen us? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free. And you can worship Jesus, come please. I believe that these messages are coming from